With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:30, and welcome to the Walking Dead online viewing party. It's Sunday, 11/25/18, Thanksgiving Sunday. I'm co-host Casey Shapiro, coming to you on blogtalkradio.com via NDB Media. Tonight's show may contain spoilers up through the last episode, and material from any current AMC official promo materials. Welcome to Season 9, Episode 8 of The Walking Dead. Tonight is the mid-season finale on Thanksgiving Sunday. I'm going to give that a little bit of applause. Yay! Checking over in the chat room, and it's quiet for the moment. That's fine. We'll continue, and I'm sure somebody will be joining us shortly. So, typically we start our show about a half hour before the new episode of Walking Dead airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m. we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free. Please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. Call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314 anytime between 8:30 and 9 Eastern Standard Time. You're welcome to call during the live show. You will be screened and muted until the commercial break, and then we can chat together on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in our live chat room, where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact. And we usually post the links for that on Facebook and my Twitter account, so feel free to share them. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening, you can still go to each episode link later and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Alrighty, episode 8, mid-season finale, is called Evolution. The official AMC synopsis is: a small rescue mission braves a dangerous herd in their hunt for a missing comrade, only to discover a surprising threat that could doom them all. And also, as a side note, because I kept fussing about this in prior weeks, at the end of last week's episode, finally, they have in character mentioned Maggie's status. So that has been put on track, finally. And as we often do, we have additional synopses that are on various websites that deal with the show. So I have grabbed a couple of those links for you. The first one I have is from Fansided at UndeadWalking.com, and it was written by Sarah Beth Pollock 15 hours ago. So, a mid-season finale of Walking Dead is an hour of television packed with just about with television packed. There should be a comma there, Sarah Beth. Packed with just about everything you can imagine. Eugene is missing. There's tension between Alexandria and the Hilltop, and the walkers are behaving erratically. Have they evolved, or is something else happening? Horror has returned to The Walking Dead in the mid-season finale, Evolution, and after this week's episode, things will never be the same again. Episode description, which I've just read you, skipping down. The Whisperers have been teased all season, and while the comic book fans know exactly what kind of mess is coming our way, I don't, because I haven't read that part. I know they exist. Those of us who only watch the show don't quite know the level of horror that's coming. This week, we'll all meet the biggest and most dangerous threat the show has ever seen. They say this a lot, but that's as maybe. The preview for this week's episode reveals that Michonne isn't exactly welcome to the hilltop with open arms. She has to relinquish her weapons before entering, a sign that something must have happened to cause this much apprehension. It's just one of the many mysterious lingering after at the time jump that we're hoping to learn more about as the season progresses. The end is an author's note to stay off social media because people love to spoil endings of stuff. And since it's a mid-season finale, there's probably a lot of juicy bits that they want to ruin. So that's the end of that article. So let me pull up another synopsis. The chat room is still quiet. And y'all are welcome to call in and join us at any time. So the second one is from Fansided at fansided.com. I'm assuming these are sister websites, possibly under the umbrella of Entertainment Weekly. Not really sure. So this one is by a new author I've mentioned a couple of times, Nir Regev, or I assume it's Regev, R-E-G-E-V. Okay. So The Walking Dead's Dr. Smarty Pants, I'm assuming he's referring to Eugene, believes the walkers are evolving after hearing them whisper and follow him and Rosita on this week's episode. The Walking Dead's Daryl, Aaron, and new hilltop leader Jesus will go out in search of the missing Eugene out on the field on the show's latest chapter. They spot an uncharacteristic herd on the way to making the rescue, posing the question, are the walkers evolving? Pardon my hiccups. Now, as the Whisperers have been hyped to the hills, even during Negan Saga seasons, many fans already know what's coming as Evolution goes. But it still presents a great exhibition on the series, as a question that's been stewing all the way back to the governor, attempting to find a cure to save an undead Penny. Meanwhile, Michonne, Sadiq, and the new rescued group led by Magna will continue traveling to Hilltop. There's been some fan rumors online swirling that perhaps the reason Michonne does not want to visit Hilltop is because they had Oceanside's traitors executed by hanging, a la Gregory, post Rick Grimes. Just a rumor, but a highly feasible one nonetheless. I don't know anything about this rumor, and I don't know how many teeth it has. It's likely tension between Michonne and Maggie over Rick being diverted to a different location at all, but Michonne having Oceanside's crew taken out would add a new element to the series. Then there's the official synopsis, so I'm skipping down. This is a quote. They're just milling around. Rosita awakes and tells the others they have to rush out now that the others can't handle what's coming in the preview trailer. The trio locate Eugene, who tells them, this wasn't a normal herd. It's looking for me. The preview trailer continues with the group fighting the herd with the ominous whisper, keep them together. That appears in the trailer for tonight's episode at the end. Michonne shows up on Hilltop's front gate and is told to state your business. Not exactly all friendly-like. She announces they brought a group who are, quote, good people, although she didn't want them in Alexandria, and that Hilltop might take them in. They throw away their weapons, including Michonne, in order to make entry into the Hilltop community. Things have certainly changed since Rick's disappearance. That is the end of that one. Let me check the chat room, see how we're doing. I'm going to refresh the chat room because sometimes the Java misbehaves, or not the Java, the Flash, excuse me. So that way I can see if anybody has joined us. Not just quite yet. So let's go ahead and continue. The last synopsis that I have for you guys is from denofgeek.com. And it's a little bit more than just a synopsis. There may be some nibbles about some other stuff. Oops. No, I put that in the wrong window. Sorry about that. And, oh, I just saw a glimpse of a wild Joan appearing. Let me go back to the other window. Yes, a wild Joan appears. So let's say hi and welcome and thank you for coming. If you just joined us, it's 8:39 p.m. and we are going through the extended synopses and plot commentary about tonight's episode. So this is from DenaGeek.com. The Walking Dead Season 9 Episode 8 premiere date, trailer, cast news. Everything you need to know about The Walking Dead Season 9 Episode 8, blah, blah, blah. They're talking a lot. This one was written by three people on November 24th, yesterday. John Saavedra, Alex Boholad, and Joseph Baxter. So, The Walking Dead Season 9 is here, and the show is entering into a brave new world. Scott Gimple, the executive producer and showrunner since Season 4, will not be around for The Walking Dead Season 9. Instead, he'll be elevated to Chief Content Officer. If this was written on November 24th, I don't know why in the hell you guys are making this sound like this is new. This is something we've known since early in Season 9. Longtime writer for the show, Angela Kang, will take over as showrunner, which she already has, making her the fourth showrunner in Walking Dead history, following Frank Darabont, Glenn Mazzara, and Gimple. Pardon me just a moment. I beg your forgiveness tonight. I have a bit of a cough that I've picked up over the holidays, so I don't want that to interrupt the show. On the storytelling side of things, The Walking Dead Season 9 will feature a long-anticipated time jump following the all-out war storyline. Things will look peaceful for our survivors as the season starts, but we know this is not always destined to last. Okay, I'm going to skip down this article because this is supposed to be about tonight, but it looks like it's being about everything, and I'm not going to read you all of that crap. Okay, blah. You know, they really are, they're being too broad, so I'm not too happy with this. I'm going to go ahead and skip the rest of this, so sorry about that part. 8:41, I do have now writers and directors profiles. Let me check and see how Joan's doing. Joan was finally got into the chat. We'll be glad when the new laptop arrives. Me too, honey. Oh, very glad to see you here. All right, so let me skip to the next part of my notes. Tonight's episode was directed by Michael Satrazemis, a.k.a. Satro, and written by David Leslie Johnson. So, profiles on both these people. They've been profiled before, but I left most of the bio intact, even though most of you have heard it at least once. Michael Edison Satrazemis, nicknamed Satro, is known for his work on The Walking Dead, 2010, The Crow, 1994, and Anchorman 2, The Legend Continues, 2013. He has done camera work for many TV shows and movies, also including My Cousin Vinny, Leverage, The Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf. He's directed an episode of Stranger Things and more. Mike has been some form of camera operator for 15 episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with Guts, Season 1, Episode 2 in 2010. He has been second unit director of photography for 3 episodes, up to Season 3, Episode 14, Prey in 2013. He then became director of photography from 2013 to 2017, ending with Monsters, Season 8, Episode 3. He has directed 13 prior episodes of The Walking Dead, starting with The Grove, fan favorite, Season 4, Episode 14, and up to Season 8, Episode 14, Still Gonna Mean Something. He has also directed 5 episodes of Fear the Walking Dead, all in Season 4, ending with the Season 4 finale, I Lose Myself. Directing tonight's episode for Walking Dead Classic will be his 14th director's credit and 19th director's credit overall within the franchise. Right, let me check to see if Joan has anything to add. Not just yet. So let's give a little applause for Satra. Okay, script writer, David Leslie Johnson. Now, it's David Leslie Johnson - McGoldrick. His name changed professionally in the spring of 2018. Sometimes some of the promo materials online have not caught up. Has been involved with Walking Dead since 2011. He started as a writer for Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra. pardon me just a moment, and has written 8 episodes of the show before tonight, ending with season 8, episode 15, Worth. He's been a consulting producer for the entirety of season 8 and now into season 9. He began his career as a production assistant on Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed on location in Johnson's hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, at the historic Mansfield Reformatory, where Johnson's great-grandfather had been a prison guard. He co-wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie coming out next month, and tonight will be his 10th episode writing for The Walking Dead franchise. So let's give him some applause as well. Thank you, Zach. Okie dokie, so trivia about tonight's episode. As is often happening lately, not a lot about tonight's current episode, mostly stuff from last week that we hadn't already covered. So tonight's episode is the 123rd episode in the series overall, and it is the first appearance of a character called Rodney, who is played by Joe Ando-Hirsch, A-N-D-O-H-I-R-S-H. They have not explained who Rodney is, so I assume his existence is plot relevant somehow and would be a spoiler. We'll find out tonight in about 15 minutes. So, episode 7, Stradivarius trivia for last week that we did not already cover. There's some fun things in here tonight. The actor who played Bernie, he of Magna's group and the tacky paisley shirt, is uncredited. Last week was the first appearance of Dog, Daryl's dog, played by the canine actor Seven. First appearance of Gage, played by Jackson Pace, who has over 20 acting credits, starting with Adam on the Barney TV show in 2006. He is a hilltop youth training to be a camp guard. First appearance of Addie, played by Kelly Mack, who has about 30 acting credits back to 2008. Addie is another hilltop youth training to be guards under Cal. First and last appearance. This one is my favorite, one of the most fun. First and last appearance of Hilltop Resident 1. Sounds pretty generic and sterile and sanitized, right? Hilltop Resident 1 is one of the two horsemen who approach Michonne on horseback while they're en route to Hilltop. He is actually played by veteran actor C. Thomas Howell. Howell is the real-life friend of Michael Cutlets, who directed that episode last week, and was given this role due to his ability to ride a horse at high speed and deliver lines all at once without needing a stuntman to perform the stunts. One of the conditions that Howell proposed is that his character have the opportunity to be recurring. It is unknown if he will be returning later on in the season. But as far as I know, Hilltop Resident Number 1 did not have any mishaps on their way to Alexandria that we know of. So hopefully he'll get a chance to do that. That would be kind of fun. So next part of the trivia. The title of this episode, Stradivarius, refers to Luke's musical instrument, which is destroyed by a suspicious Michonne in the middle of the night when he refuses to drop what she believes to be a weapon. The violin that Michonne breaks was not a priceless Stradivarius. I don't think anybody actually thought it would be. But it was a real violin. The prop team purchased 2 violins that were beyond repair and cut one as if Michonne had carved through it. Final news. Oh, my God. Maggie is revealed to have left the Hilltop and joined Georgie's group. Jesus is now the leader of the Hilltop, a job he doesn't seem very happy with, though he is reelected off-screen during the episode. It's implied that he thinks the job is temporary and that Maggie will return. And OOC, we know that is an option they're keeping open. Alden is confirmed to have survived Jed's attack on him in the episode The Obliged. Daryl is revealed to have gone out into the wilderness in search of Rick Grimes' body and chose to stay out there after he couldn't find one because it was easier. He also has the same X-shaped scar that Michonne has in the same place. And we're all assuming this has something to do with the missing time jump, things that went on, why everybody's so mad at each other now. This episode was directed by Michael Cutlets, who previously portrayed Abraham Ford, which makes it the first time a former cast member directed an episode in the series. This episode marks Alana Masterson's 50th appearance on the show. The walker foot that Daryl Dixon threw into the fire was actually a chicken breast carved to look like a foot. The song played during the Hilltop montage is called April Skies by the Jesus and Mary Chain, which we'll also cover in the music trivia below. Ironically, it is Jesus who is listening to this record. During the In Memoriam on Talking Dead for the episode, the walkers that ambush Dog are billed as dog walkers. A dog walker is a person who walks one or more dogs as a job. I think we know that. Don't zombie-splain things, guys. There are no goose errors or bloopers listed for episode 7. So I'm going to go down to cast birthdays. It looks like Joan is just waiting for things to go on. Didn't really add anything as of yet, so we'll continue. So cast birthdays. We have technically two. I added one that's next Sunday's date. So sometimes I never know where I should add them on the week before or on the week of, but maybe I'll do it twice. So Kirk M. Acevedo, who played Mitch in the Martinez camp in Woodbury. His birthday is November 27th, and he is from Brooklyn. Robert Singleton, who we all know as Irony Singleton, who played Theodore Douglas, or T-Dog. His birthday is November 30th, and he is from Atlanta. Stuart Greer, who played Roman, one of the saviors. His birthday is December 2nd. We don't have a town for him. Side note, in October 2016, Greer suffered a stroke. He retired as an actor after 23 years of film and television work and is currently living in Benton, Arkansas. So let's give everybody a round of applause for their parts in the show. Always, we appreciate everyone's work, stars and extras and crew and the whole bit. And stunties, too. All right, so music time. It is 8:51, so we got 9 minutes left. Featured music from last week is still going to be also the song It's Going Down Undefeated by Devin Hoffman, Richard Vegas, and Jessica Easley. That was a song in that extended trailer for episode 6, 7, and 8. In addition, as we already mentioned, in episode 7, Jesus is listening to the Jesus and Mary Chain record Frankie left at Hilltop, and the song is called April Skies. Unaccounted four characters continue to be Heath and Sherry. We have some notes on their fate, but nothing's been confirmed and finalized with either one of them. For the remainder of the front half of season 9, this is it. It's a mid-season finale. We do not have a start date yet for the back half of season 9, but currently it is assumed to be February at some point, as has been done in the past. Okay, the next thing we have up is discussion links. So let me pull that up. We have enough time to probably get into one of them, maybe two, probably just one. So the first link that we have, I'm going to read you a paragraph from it. So, how will Cohen, as Maggie, leave The Walking Dead, a world in which there's rarely a way out beyond death? The second episode of season 9, The Bridge, provided the first major clue to that answer. Almost midway through the hour, Maggie and Jesus speak together about their plans for the Hilltop's future. Before digging into the drama surrounding Earl and Tammy Rose, Jesus and Maggie conjure a familiar name, Georgie, the nomadic survivor played by Jane Atkinson. I beg your pardon, wasn't Georgie played by Glenn Close? Or, I don't know, Joan, work your magic and see if you can find out who plays Georgie, because I think that might be wrong. Who first appeared in season 8 to provide Maggie with a key to building a better future. Jesus and Maggie's conversation makes it clear that Hilltop is still in communication with Georgie, What's more, it appears Georgie has repeatedly tried to recruit Maggie as part of her outreach efforts. Just as Georgie provided the key for the future, key for the return of civilization in season 8, it now appears she's back in spirit to provide the key for how Maggie can walk away just as, from The Walking Dead without dying. Is it fair to look at this quiet exchange between Maggie and Jesus as the first step towards Cohen's coming exit? Is it wise to suspect that when Maggie leaves, it's going to be hand-in-hand with a new traveling companion in Georgie? Here's how showrunner Angela Kang responds to this question while speaking with The Hollywood Reporter. Quote, that's a fair suspicion. And you know how they do with the staff. They don't like to give spoilers, so that's as much as you'll get. Kang was quick to couch as expectations. I'm not going to say that's exactly what happens, as well as expand on the importance of Georgie in the world of The Walking Dead. All right, so let me look at this actual article. This was written back on October 14th by Josh Wigler, and this is from The Hollywood Reporter. Okay. As Rick Grimes, Andrew Lincoln, and his companions work to build a bridge between communities, AMC's The Walking Dead itself is busy with some bridge building of its own, the bridge toward Lauren Cohan's exit from the series. Lauren, who's played Maggie Greenree since season 2, is poised to walk away from The Walking Dead at least temporarily later this season due to her series regular role on ABC's Whiskey Cavalier. The ABC role follows what sources say was a salary standoff with AMC gone sour. Possibly, that would make sense. Unlike the talk surrounding Andrew Lincoln's looming exit as Rick, Cohen's coming departure has been discussed as more open-ended in nature, with hopes for her eventual return. There's a giant chunk that is part of the conversation I just read to you guys. I'm going to continue with a quote further down from Angela Kang, where I had cut off previously. So continuing, she says, it's like when you're playing a video game and the fog of the map around you is expanding as you go into different areas to explore, she said. That's what's happening with Georgie's group. The Alexandrian group thought it was just them before Jesus came along and told them. The world is so much bigger than you think. Then they found out through Georgie the world is even bigger than the group thought. There will be certain societies that just kind of exist out there that we don't constantly check in on. We don't always tell stories with Oceanside, but they're very much there. It's the same deal with Georgie and the twins. She's off trying to figure out who else is out there. That builds very much into the idea of civilization that all our characters are grappling with. Either way, she insists, and that's Angela, we are still going to tell more stories with Maggie. That's certainly the plan, at least, but is it the guaranteed reality? Well, I don't know why they said that. Nothing is. What assurances exist that Cohen will ever return to The Walking Dead when she leaves? And if she doesn't return, will her send-off be a satisfying conclusion to the Maggie Reese storyline? I hope it'll work, says Kang. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Lauren and I have had conversations, and she's excited to come back, even if it's not for a full season. We can work with that. That's scheduling problems. We'll figure out the story. She's great. We have a great relationship, and she still loves the show. Sometimes our actors need to spread their wings a little. We get that. That is the end of that article. Joan had a couple of comments. Joan is reading an article on comicbook.com about the mysterious X scars that Michonne has one and Daryl has one that we know of. And apparently we're not going to get answers until the back half of season 9, according to Angela Kang. Of course not, because they need to make us come back. And that's fine. Okay, so it's 8:58. It is almost time to go dark for the live show, but that article is finished, so I'm going to pull this down to the bottom and pull up a new one for you in the tiny little window of time we've got. So this next one is going to be The Walking Dead, what is the real meaning behind A and B? All the clues and theories relating to the show's intriguing mystery. And I'm glad they brought that up. It's a couple of weeks old. Let's see, when was this written? November 10th. But that's still something that wasn't resolved. And I guess it's kind of nice because it needs to get resolved. And Now that Rick is there, we're interested in catching up to that. So, Joan, I don't know if you were here and able to hear the two horsemen that left Hilltop. One of them was well-known actress T. Thomas Hell. The finale is happening now. So I'm going to go dark, and I will see you guys at the first commercial break. Okay, guys, it's 9:02, and that was a super short opening and kind of creepy. I'm giving it a 5.75. It is material we've seen before, but now it's finally relevant, so I kind of enjoyed that. Let's see. What have we not read? Oh, Joan did me the courtesy of looking up the actress who plays Georgie. I could have sworn it was Glenn Close. It is Jane Atkinson. And I'm actually a little curious. I'm going to pull up her IMDb while we're waiting and see what else she's been in. Because, yeah, there is quite a marked resemblance, especially in this way of doing her hair and makeup. There's a resemblance to Glenn Close. Okay, I can kind of see her in her regular actress picture, not in her photos from shows. She's been on 24, the original, which is the only one in my mind anyway. She's British. She was involved with Free Willy. Was Catherine Durant in House of Cards. Is involved in a new project called Madam Secretary and plays somebody called Teresa Hurst. She's involved in Castle Rock as Officer Reese. Chicago Med, The Good Wife, Congressman Zoo, American Odyssey, Criminal Minds, quite a few things. Gossip Girl, Law and Order. She has quite a long resume going on here. She was on one episode of X-Files, on Parenthood. Mostly her stuff goes back to 86, but I guess it's just a passing resemblance and that isn't actually Glenn Close, so that would be me being confused. But thank you for looking that up, Joan. Appreciate that. I went 5.75. Joan went with 6. Creepy head turn at the last moment. And Joan says, I bet at least half of them are whisperers. I would definitely be on board with that theory. So, see an article, not article, excuse me, trailers for Elf. So we have a minute. So November 10th by Jess Lee on digitalspy.com. The Walking Dead, what is the real meaning behind A and B? Let's see if we can get a little nibble of the article before we go back. Are you an A or a B? Although the buildup to Andrew Lincoln's Walking Dead exit was billed as Rick Grimes' final episodes, there were a few loose ends that looked very unlikely to be addressed on the show, especially with the Rick movie spinoff trilogy being announced. We're back, though, so I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 2. .913 and break number 2, so let's go ahead and get some scores up. I'm going to 6.25. We will see what else is going on. I'll grab a couple comments. Joan had said, from what I understand, the Whisperers are a fairly large group, so it would make sense, particularly with the weird movements. And then she says, well, if writers are coming, causes that much consternation, there must be some good backstory somewhere, I'm thinking, and a whole lot more fear and security all around. And Joan says, according to Angela King, the X scars are not related to whatever went bad between Hilltop and Alexandria, so two different mysteries to look forward to in the back half. And I'm getting a little prickly with Angela. This is the third or fourth plot device that she has spoiled outside of just shut up and tell me the story. You know, I like her writing. I like many of the changes and things that are going on with the show since she's taken the helm as showrunner. But I really want her to knock it off with the OOC nibble spoilers. So I had said 6.25. Joan said 6.25. And her other comment, yeah, I agree. I think she means me fussing about spoiling. It was in that same article I was skimming published a little over an hour ago. Pardon me. Okay, let me go back to the Walking Dead article I was reading you guys. So, Bill, few loose ends unlikely to be addressed on the show, especially with the Rick movie spinoff trilogy announced. The helicopter people who have some sort of human trafficking deal with Anne/Jadis remain a mystery. But the big unresolved question that we can't stop thinking about is what on earth do A and B really, really mean? Over the past few seasons, one of the two letters has been used by Jadis to refer to a number of characters. In season 8, episode 6, Anne locks Rick in the shipping container. The container is marked with the letter A. In season 8, episode 7, she prepares to execute Rick with a zombie, Walker, but Rick gets the upper hand and they strike a deal to work together to defeat Negan in the all-out war, which of course we know she didn't keep. In season 9, episode 5, Rick's final episode, Anne discovers a seriously injured Rick lying on the ground after he blew up the bridge to stop a zombie horde. I have a B, Anne tells the copter, hovering above. Not an A, I never had an A. He's hurt, but he's strong. Can you help him? She added, I'm trying to save a friend who saved me. I have something for you now. We have a deal? Do we have a deal? Well, this is interesting. What looks like Hell's Angels and zombies fighting and possibly in a video game. It's a PS4 game, but I didn't see what it was for. Anne appears to be genuinely trying to save Rick to repay his faith in her. As she tells Rick, you're going to be okay, I'm going to save you, which implies that bees won't be harmed by the helicopter people. Regarding Negan, in Season 8, Episode 14, Anne has Negan locked in a similar shipping container as Rick was in. She drags him out and prepares to have a zombie bite him. Following what happened to Rick in Season 8 and much later on with Gabriel in Season 9, see below, this suggests Negan is an A. Negan manages to talk himself out of the predicament after the helicopter comes and goes without seeing Anne. Gabriel Stokes. While Anne changed her mind about Rick from an A to a B, her perception of Gabriel moved in the opposite direction. In Season 9, Episode 3, Anne is told by the helicopter people via walkie-talkie that she needs an A. Season 9, Episode 5 reveals the deal was to deliver an A in order to get picked up by the helicopter. Unfortunately for her, Gabriel overheard the conversation at the junkyard, resulting in a confrontation between the pair. We are back. I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 3. Okay, guys, it is 9:24. We're at break number 3. I am going to 6:05, and Joan is going to 6:75, which is fine. Additional comments in between the writings between last time and this time. Jonah's added, I agree. I love the direction Kang is taking the show. It feels like getting back to the basics we knew and loved in the early years, but she needs to calm down on the spoilers. Okay, you just added another mystery we need the answers to. A and B, what? They keep talking about the fair, and I'm getting a bad feeling about it already. You may be confusing two different plot tangents. A and B is the thing with Jadis and the helicopter and Rick and Gabriel and Negan and how she was kidnapping people and it had something to do with the helicopter and we didn't understand. That's the A and B thing, but we've never completed understanding what A and B are. And this article was poking at that. They're talking about the fair and I'm not sure what the nature of the fair is. I assumed it was some kind of, local carnival county fair type thing that the, Kingdom was doing, but I wasn't clear towards what purpose. I didn't know if this was like rebuilding goodwill or working on the buildings or not really sure. So that's what's up with those two things. Hopefully Joan can hear me fine now. And since it is 9:25, Joan has another comment. Yes, I know. And I doubt we'll get Jadis and AB answers anytime soon with both Rick and Jadis gone. I agree with you. I think that will be a while, and I'm okay with that. I don't want that resolved too quick because that's a lot of jerking us around. I think Rick should just have his death and then have us just remember that he didn't actually and that Daryl wasn't letting it go. So let me go back to the article. and admit that she traded people for supplies for my people, and ask Gabriel to leave with her. There's another place, she says. It's far from here, but if we go together, we can get there. It can be different for us. If you can trust me and help me with one small part of the deal, we can have a life like you can't imagine. Presumably, Anne means that she wants Gabriel's help in securing an A for their way out, but Gabriel declines, saying that he needs to tell Rick. All this time, I thought you were a B, Anne told Gabriel before knocking him out. In Season 9, Episode 4, Anne has Gabriel, now deemed an A, tied up in the same manner as Negan as she again prepares for a zombie to bite him. Quote, there's only one place left for me to go, she said, and you're the price of admission. But Anne is persuaded by Gabriel to let him go and vanishes after that. And by the way, there have been a lot of people bitching that Gabriel does not appear that they've shown to have told anybody about what he knows about Anne slash Jadis. And I think they're holding off on that so they don't hedge Rick's possible pseudo return anytime soon, because he doesn't really want to come back to the TV show part. And this is interesting. They included Heath in this. It's unclear if Heath is alive or not, but we do know that not long after being separated from Tara near Oceanside and driving back in their RV, he came across Anne slash Jadis. In Season 9, Episode 5, Anne is seen driving Heath's RV, and showrunner Angela Kang confirmed that Heath's exit is very much tied with the helicopter people, with Heath having been traded for supplies. We don't know if he's an A or a B, but given that show bosses have said they have a story for that character in place, should actor Corey Hawkins return, we think Heath could show up in Rick's movie trilogy spinoff. And if Heath is indeed alive, he didn't get bitten by a zombie, and so is more likely a B. So what does A and B mean? Oh, my God. Naturally, there are numerous theories regarding the two letters, super obvious. One of the first theories suggests that A means leader and B meant follower, but I'm not sure that's a very good one. Many people were sold on this prior to the events of Season 9, Episode 5. Rick and Negan are leaders, and Gabriel speaking his mind and going against Anne can imply leadership qualities. We are back. I'll see you guys at break number 4. Okay, guys, it's 9:35. Jonah, are we at break number 4 or number 5? I keep thinking it's 4. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay, 6:75. I debated going to 7, but I'm really just not quite ready yet. Let me go ahead and grab whatever comments we have in between the last rating. Jonah said, yeah, I doubt we'll get Jadis and AB answers anytime soon with both Rick and Jadis gone. I think the fair is supposed to be some kind of a market or trading thing that brings all the communities together, which is what I also think it is. And I worry about the people traveling across the country with the Whisperers out there. I don't know. I didn't get the impression that the Whisperers were beyond a local group of sorts. By the way, incidentally, I don't know if you were able to hear that, but the guy who wrote the script for Aquaman, which is my commercial right now, is the guy who wrote the script for tonight, which I thought was kind of cool. Let me go over to my trivia real quick and see if I can find that for you. David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie, and he wrote this episode tonight. So I thought that was kind of fun, as they just had a commercial for that. Okay. I was a little confused, by your comment about all the people traveling across the country with the Whisperers out there. I didn't think they had that much territory. And she says, whatever the fair will be, people will have to travel to get to it. Not across the country, that's across the county, really. And she says, surprise cast member on The Talking Dead, I have a confession for you guys. Somebody on social media earlier spoiled something in front of me, and I know who the surprise guest is, and I know why they are there. And I'm keeping my trap absolutely shut. I'm only just going to say that we're definitely getting some major plot action tonight, and one of those pieces of plot probably has to do with guests. Which is things you probably already know, but I'm just confirming that we're going to get to do that tonight. And Jonah says, wow, Gabe, nice snap back to Negan. Which one in particular were you talking about, Jonah? Gabriel's gotten pretty funny. And she says, okay, these kids seem to be up to no good. Apocalypse are not teenagers, are still jerks sometimes. True. Joan's given 6.75. I've given 6.75. And Joan also thinks, I think it's 4.2. I don't know. Oh, that we're on break number 4. Yes. Okay. 9.38. And let me pop over to the article I was reading and see if we can wrap that up. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly in October, Kang had said, the AMB has something to do with the thing that she was involved in, which was human trading. And it was a way to differentiate between classes of people. Yeah, well, we know that, Angela. If you're going to be spoiler check, then make good spoilers. And when asked about the leader-follower theory, she said, maybe. I will say that's a very good maybe, but given that Rick is a B, that theory may very well be incorrect. And I agree with that. Another popular theory going around is that A means enemy and B means friend. The signs are these, why we say it. Jada's tried to kill the A's. The B's appear to be left unharmed in Rick's specific case. She and the helicopter people saved his life. When Anne first met Rick, they were closer to being enemies than allies, but by the time Rick exited, Anne considered Rick a friend. Or, how about A means infected and B means uninfected? But that doesn't make sense to me. In all three instances of someone being branded an A, Rick, Negan, and Gabriel, Anne came close to having a zombie bite her prisoner. Whatever the answer, maybe it was somebody she was going to infect. Okay, looks like we are back, and I'll see you guys at break number 5. It's 9:48, and we are at commercial break number 5. And I am going to 7:25. And Joan is at 7. Comments, you're probably right about the fair and the whispers. I only know a few very broad things about how the fair plays out in the Source comics, and hopefully they won't follow too closely. And they haven't followed some things very closely at all, and I'm actually fine with that. This is one thing that irritates me that people beef about. It's not like that in the comics. I mean, this is very common in fiction where you have one source of media, like a book or a TV show, and you turn it into something else, like a movie or a song or whatever, and they're deviances because of the way the mediums work. Okay. Jonas also said, oh, good, not only young and stupid, but drunk and stupid. And then Negan has just gotten out of his cage because I guess Father Gabriel was not being diligent about locking him back up properly. Although the guy with the keys that undid his handcuffs, I'm a little surprised that he does not also have the means to check on these things. Not really sure what is up with that. So anyway, Jones at 7, I'm at 7:25. And we have a few minutes, so let me go back over to the article and see where we are with that. Just one little snip. In all three instances of someone being branded an A, Rick, Negan, and Gabriel, Anne came close to having a zombie bite her prisoner. Whatever the answer, we won't know until we see Rick's first movie spinoff, which picks up after he is taken by the helicopter people, which will be broadcast by AMC. And I will see when they're going to be doing these and when they will air. That will be kind of interesting to find out. So that is that article. Let me grab that out of rotation and move it down so that we don't have repeats. Oops. So it is 9:50. We have Chris Hardwick yapping about Talking Dead, but I have stuff on mute. Is there anything important I need to know that he mentioned Joan? And I guess she'll let me know in the chat room in a second. Okay. So I'm going to look at what articles I have next. I'm going to save these till next time we get together. There was something about The Walking Dead broadcast its first F word, and it was from 10:28. But I contest that this is the first time that Walking Dead could say fuck. So I did a little research, and that's kind of crunchy and complicated. So the last article that I have, I will pull up, but I don't know if I'll have time to get to before this episode is over. Now, this is a season finale, so So remember that we don't have stuff next weekend, but if we have anything like stuff about the movies or any other kind of business like that, I will definitely let you guys know, and we may do some stuff in our normal time slot to cover that. So anyway, this is from fanfest.com. And Andrew Lincoln on When to Expect the Walking Dead Movie by Shannon Tuohy on November 15th. And she says, The Walking Dead is planning for a trilogy of films with Andrew Lincoln starring as Rick Grimes, and we have an idea of when we'll see it. His final episode of The Walking Dead made clear from his exit from the series would be open-ended, leaving room for much more story for the beloved leader. The character is not killed off, but instead gets scooped up by Jadis as he's injured in an explosion he sets off. His exit episode was cushioned with an almost immediate announcement from AMC of plans for a film trilogy with the character. We are back, so I'll shut up. Probably see you guys at the end of the hour. Okay, guys, it's 10:05. Going to keep it short and sweet. My final score is still 7-5. Joan is going to 7-5. Tom Payne is the mystery guest on the couch, as you guys just saw literally 1 minute ago. Jesus was lost. So anyway, I'm going to let y'all watch Talking Dead. I will see you in February. Please keep an eye on the Facebook page, and I will give you a note as soon as I know when they're coming back. Joan has added, you know, crap, I like Jesus, damn. And that was a whole new level of creepy, even though we knew it was coming. Yeah, it was. And Joan says, no surprise there. On a positive note, Tom can now cut his hair if he wants. I didn't know what his hair was like before this, so who knows. But anyway, thank you for joining me, Joan. Thank you for listening. Everyone else who may be listening later or downloading us, always appreciate your patronage. And so this is the end of the mid-season, the front half, and I will see you guys in February. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.